This is back in the mid-90s. It's probably about 94, 95. I was running a big community project up in Bryn Mawr, up in the valleys. And I invited Pete Gregory to come up. I didn't know about the circus. I didn't know it existed. I didn't know anybody in the company at all. Somebody recommended that Pete Gregory could run circus workshops. So I invited him to come up and run some weekly circus workshops for the summer or whatever it was. And then slowly over the following, I don't know, year, I suppose, I sort of began to run into people. This was a big community festival, really, and it involved a range of companies. Nofit State wasn't there as a company. But slowly I began to meet people associated with Nofit State, or linked to, or working for, or connected to, or whatever. And that included Tom and Toby Philpott, Pete Gregory, as I said, Tim Hudson, Alan Deere. And then after that project had finished in 1998, I think, Tom and Ali asked me to come down to produce Prophecy, which was the first of the Stepping Stones trilogies. I got very bad on years. Was that 98? It might have been 98, it might have been 97. My first job was producing Prophecy in the warehouse. And then I went to work for another company, and they asked me to come back to do front of house for the following two warehouse shows. So I did Now Here and Immortal. I did front of house. Then they asked me to join the board, and I joined the board for a few years. And that finished as me being chair of the board. And while I was there as on the board, I started working with Tom and Ali on developing business plans, developing more robust budgets, more stronger forward planning, stronger funding applications, all of that sort of stuff. And then in 2006, the company secured a bit of funding to employ me and Sam Minas for a year. Sam to come in as the administrator, and me to come in as... Oh, I really don't remember what my job title was. General manager, admin exec, I don't know, a job of some kind like that. I just don't know what the hell it was. And that's when I started working for the company full time. So that was in 2006. I'm executive director now. So I've now been here full time for 8 years.
Can you describe a typical day?
No, because there isn't one. A lot of my time is spent with money, doing forward planning, budgeting, checking on budgets, sort of scrutinising other people's budgets, the way we run it when somebody wants to develop a particular project or a particular production. I will then typically have quite a lot of conversations with that person about the budget and also the structure of the project and who's going to be working on it and how big the cast is and how big the crew is, and does the project stack up? Does it make sense? Does the staffing feel right? Does the combination of roles within the project feel right? I don't become involved in deciding who precisely is going to work on a project or who will be cast or where the tour will go to. I'm not involved in managing projects. But really just having an external eye asking, is this the right skill set, the right combination of people, the right range of people, the right level of expertise?
Can you tell us some of your favourite circus memories?
I think some of my favourite circus memories is where we've proved somebody else wrong. Nofit State is not like other arts organisations. And as a company, we are prepared to take risk in a way that most people won't. And right back from when I was on the board, I remember there being board meetings where we discussed a particular project or a particular idea. And we knew that if it went wrong, it would close the company, it would shut the company down. And we, as a board, and then subsequently when I stopped being on the board, started working for the company, again and again and again, we took the decision, we're going to go ahead, we're going to do this, and if it fails, we die.
Which, can you say which project that was? Must have been a watershed moment, eh?
No, it happened, because it happened so often. Not so often, but, you know, the very first one I remember was taking Immortal to Edinburgh. There was the potential to lose enough money to bankrupt the company if we didn't hit targets. And everyone said, go for it. That's the one I remember. And that's... And I've worked for companies in the past where they've been confronted by the same situation, they haven't been prepared to take the risk. And those companies now are dead. And that is why this company succeeds, because the company is prepared to put it all on the line. Not in a stupid way, not in a casual way, not in a flippant way, but to take really hard-headed, calculated risks. Like taking... Was it Taboo or was it Immortal? I can't remember which one it was. The first self-promotion we did in mainland Europe, going to Avignon with that show, and we'd never performed in Avignon before. We'd never done self-promotion in outside of the UK before. That was a big risk. That could have bankrupted us. We didn't know if it would work. But I think that what we have is a very, very strong nose, and that nose being backed up by serious data crunching. I think it's interesting that, in a sense, it's a bit like what you see in a performance. What you see in the performance is the culmination of training and rehearsal and years of practice. You don't see the blood and sweat behind that final performance. You don't see the years of work that have gone into getting to that level of being a performer. I think that the same is true in terms of money and organisation. People don't know how much we crunch the numbers, how much we analyse risk, how much we weigh up the possibilities as to whether something's a good idea or a bad idea. And sometimes it's very heated discussions and we don't always agree. The worst day is days when people are at risk, serious risk, and actually, the worst day is the day when you know people are at risk and there's nothing you can do about it. Things like the tent is at risk, there's a storm coming, there's a hurricane coming. We've decided we can roll it out. We don't know if we can perform tonight. We don't know if the tent is safe. Somebody else has made that decision and we just have to sit and wait and see if we made the right call. That's the worst. Coping with a problem, coping with the disaster after it's happened, that you cope with. It's the not knowing if the disaster is about to hit. That's when people get most stressed. Those are the worst days, for sure. The best days are when you see somebody's life, you see somebody's face in the audience, you see somebody's life really changed by what we do. It's when you get a letter from somebody who's seen the show. It's when you see people just in floods of tears at the end of the performance. When you see people proposing to their partner of the last 40 years at the end of the show. You know, it's when you see people who have profound issues, challenges, blocks, problems in their lives, and somehow their engagement with this company breaks through those barriers and frees them, and they can become who they are. I tell you, the best day I ever had. I won't name names. Some years ago, we employed a guy who was probably in his mid-30s. He'd had a very challenging past. He'd spent significant times in prison. He'd spent time living on the streets. He'd had significant alcohol problems and so on and so on. And he came as a volunteer, and he was great. And we offered him a job, and he accepted. And he was on the payroll. He'd been on the payroll for a month or some such thing like that. And he came to me one day with his bank statement and said, you know, Alison, I think there's been a mistake with my wages. Something's gone wrong. And I looked at his bank statement. I said, no, that all looks correct. He said, but it's so much money. Am I really worth being paid that much money? And I went, yeah. And he was on £300 a week. You know, this was a couple of years back. This is not big salary. This was the first time in his life anybody had said to him, you are worth paying for what you do. Ever. And it's not about the money. It's the first time anybody had said to him, you are worth something to us and to this community. And his life has been completely transformed. Those are the days that really matter. Those are the best days. Those really are the best days.
Last question.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing next?
What am I doing next? Oh, God help us. We have to leave John Street. We don't have a leaving date, but it's going to be sometime in about 12 months' time. Find a replacement for John Street. Number one.
In Cardiff?
In Cardiff. Find a load of money, serious amount of money to do that. Find the money for a new show. We want to do a big new show. That's got many zeros at the end of it. Both of those have many zeros at the end of it. Yeah.
The future's rosy, eh?
The future has... I think it's not that the world gets harder, it is that you set the bar higher continually. And the thing that 5 years ago was a major challenge, and can we do this and can we conceive, now it's all, well, that, you know, that's a piece of cake, we know how to do that. Right, here's the next bar.
Alison, it's been a pleasure.
You're welcome.
Thank you for your
time.
Welcome.
You're welcome.